Just own it. Oh, I'm so happy to be here today. Are you surprised? Me either. But I am excited. I'm excited because there's so much good going on. Have you noticed? There's so much good going on in the world. Sometimes it's hidden. It's hidden in all kinds of things, but there's so much good going on. Our topic this month is about how we're engaging with that and how we're being part of it and how we're interacting with it. And if I can ask my awesome assistant and beloved husband to hand me that book that's in that black bag, I'd be really grateful. That's the one. See how good life is? And it shows. Might want it later. Anyway, so here we are. We're talking about moving beyond our story. Anybody ever want to just let go of the story that you're living and find a different one? Well, the good news is we're always doing that. The good news is life is continuously moving on. We actually can't stop it. It's moving on, it's changing, it's evolving, and we're part of it, so we are too. And our story is always changing. And I think that one of the things that I really like to understand is that it continues to expand and move beyond our thoughts, beyond our experiences, beyond our comprehension of it. Life is moving out ahead of us. And we're interacting with it to the degree that we can engage it and love it. So let's just talk about this idea of moving beyond our story. As I was looking at it, what happens when I move beyond my story? It's like adding space. Is it not? Sometimes when I want to move beyond what's going on, and let me just clarify, what I'm talking about is the story that's confining me. The story that I find myself limited, no options or limited options, or just feeling a little bit stuck. And when I'm adding space, something happens, does it not? Have you noticed if you add space, what happens? Even just space between me and you, there's a little extra space today. What's that about? Well, I don't know. It's space. But what happens when there's space is there's opportunity for something else to show up. Oh, when there's space, then something else can come in. I notice in life that my time, my energy, my activities get pretty tight. Like I'm moving quick. This and this and this and this, and I'm packed with all of these different things that are part of my life, which I love. It's wonderful. And yet, where's the space? And so you might be like some people that I spoke with this morning that we had to get up a little extra early to get our space. Our spiritual practices create space. It's not just a physical space. It's that mental space. And when we have space, we have a perspective, do we not? Oh, did I forget to tell you? It's not monologue day. The other thing about expansion is it often requires stretching. And if we haven't been stretching much, stretching can cause some sore muscles. Made you laugh. Stretching can cause some and not only that, when we start noticing the sore muscles, then we start resisting the stretch. True? And what happens when we resist it? Yes, it does. It does persist. Oh my goodness gracious. But expansion does include stretch. It includes the stretch. Shall we? Stretch. What's it like? Go ahead, stretch. Go ahead. Let it stretch. Notice what happens in your body. Did you feel a little shift? When we stretch our minds, guess what? The same thing happens. I mean, the relationship between the body and the mind is not a new idea, but we take some of it for granted. Stretch my body, oh, I know how it feels. Well, when I stretch my mind, oh, I know how it feels. When I stretch my body and I stretch too far and I pull something, shoot, gosh darn it, it hurt. When I stretch my mind and I pull something, gosh darn it, it hurts, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna stop. It just means that I really went out of my comfort. That's it, isn't it? I went beyond my comfort. Well, I'm not afraid to go beyond my comfort when I'm stretching my mind because I know that where it's taking me is onward and upward. Life only goes forward. It's always forward. It's always upward moving. So the stretch, let's embrace it. I'm not asking anybody to hurt themselves. I'm not suggesting we're supposed to hurt ourselves. I am suggesting that sometimes when we feel a little resistance, it's okay to explore it, to say, is this someplace where I'm growing or I'm building my muscle? So our center is expanding. Have you noticed that? Yes. It is. It is expanding. And for some of us, it might feel like, yeah, whew, space. For some of us, it might feel like, oh, ding, that hurt. That's a stiff muscle. It's all of us. Fortunately, we have every variation, and we'll help each other along. Yes? Mm-hmm. You ever been to the gym? Or you know people that go to the gym. I know people that go to the gym. I've met you. And you go to the gym, why? You go to the gym to stretch. Holy moly, what a novel idea. We come to church, our center. We come to our spiritual community to stretch. And we don't go to the gym to hurt ourselves. Not intentionally, but we do go to the gym to develop the muscle, to increase our stamina, to be stronger. And we come here, we come to our prayer chair, we come here, we come to our spiritual practices to stretch, to develop our muscle, to increase our stamina so that we can do the things that we want to do in life without getting hurt. Yes? Yes. All right. So there's another thing that happens with moving on from our story that I came across, and I just thought this was so brilliant, because when we're shifting and we're making space, it's venting. Now, when you hear venting, do you hear, oh, that person that just wants to... Me too. I hear that as well. However, I also hear the beauty of the intentional vent. So we have vents in rooms, and the purpose of the vent is to allow the air to move, yes? And the purpose of the intentional vent within ourselves is to clear the air. Oh. And we don't put a vent in the room where it doesn't belong, do we? I don't actually understand how this works, but I know it's true. The architect in the room will tell me. But we wouldn't. We would put the vent, we would intentionally place the vent in the room. Is that true, somebody that knows? Yeah. Yes, okay. We would intentionally vent where it makes sense, would we not? Mm-hmm. I would invite you to. I would invite you to find an appropriate person who can listen respectfully without doing craziness with you. but allow the vent to occur and the air to be cleared. Yes? I really like that idea. So we grow. And our stories change. It isn't that we so much figure out how we're going to change our story, as it is that we allow ourselves to be engaged in our story to the degree that our story changes. It can't help but change. Life is continuously changing, and we continuously grow. Have you ever had a thought about something and then you notice that it's totally different? Have you, okay, let's just make it really easy. Something like, have you ever liked a particular kind of music or a particular kind of food, and then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but over time, you notice, huh, it's changed. Have you ever had a particular practice in your life that you were really enjoying, and you did it, and it was just like, oh, I can't imagine my life without this, and then you find yourself, oh, that's evolved, that's changed. Ever? Have you ever been devoted to a particular spiritual practice, and you notice over time it evolved and it changed? Okay, so we know what we're talking about, change. It happens. It's kind of natural. It really does unfold. So I'm curious if it's natural and if it's something that just happens, but I'm almighty in the creation of my life. That's what I believe. We all are. And if I want to change in my life, what's the intentional change that I'm up to? And if life is always changing, am I paying attention to the changes that are occurring? Or am I being the raft on the ocean and letting the currents take me wherever? Not right or wrong, good or bad. But when we know the opportunity of intentional change, and moving beyond our old stories to new stories. Maybe we're moving to a new town. Maybe we're creating a new story. Then there's some intention around it, yes? Okay, so do you have some story in your life that's kind of sneaking a peek? Or maybe it's really loud. Maybe it's really quiet. Maybe it's just started forming. Maybe it's right there. You'll have fun with that. Playing with it and kind of where's that story leading me? Where's the chapter ending and where's the new one beginning? And as I was thinking about this, and I thought, oh, however many of us in this room, we have all kinds of different stories and different variations and chapters, beginnings and endings and all of that. But there's one story that I find common to all of us that is changing, that we're moving beyond. And I actually see it as a winding down of a story. And it's shared. It's a story that is shared in humanity. And it's the story that we're separate. The story that we're separate is winding down. The story that what's happening with you doesn't affect me, it's winding down. The story that I am not part of this is winding down. The story that we're not part of all of life that's going on around us, it's winding down. And it's winding down because there's this upsurge of consciousness and awareness and attention to our intention to remember that we're one, that we're part of this infinite life that is God, that there's one life, that life is God's life, that life is my life now. In that attention, everything, it was just to get our attention. The greatest story that we tell ourselves is that we're on our own. And isn't it interesting that we are, but we're not? But we are, but we're not? But we are, but we're not. I've said it before, I'll say it again. No one can think your thoughts for you. No one can think my thoughts for me in that regard. I am on my own. And yet, my thoughts are impacted by you, and you impact my thoughts. And I speak my word into the mind of God, which is the mind of all. In the science of mind, which is where I go to, in the science of mind, I asked Ernest, and he answered. I said, Ernest, tell me about individuality. And in the glossary of all places, he gave it to us. Individuality, the real idea of man. Individuality, the real idea of man. But wait, there's more. As distinguished from outer personality. Each one is a separate entity in mind, capital, and no two are alike. Each is an individual center of God consciousness. Each is an individual center of God consciousness. We are born with our individuality. Our personality is the use we make of our divine individuality. A lot of individuals in there. So we're all born in the one. Unique, perfectly designed, and yet individual. Individually expressing the divinity of God within. Individually allowing spirit to move through us. But it's the same spirit that's moving through everyone. The same spirit that's moving through me is moving through the Dalai Lama. The same spirit that's moving through you is the spirit that moved through Jesus the Christ. The same spirit that's moving through us individually is the same spirit that's moving through every form of life. The same. We're not separate. We're all connected. In this beautiful book, I had to show it to you because it's beautiful. In spiritual ecology, mystics and poets, among many others, have always perceived the world as a living unity, ensouled with the same life as their own. And though this vision may go underground, ooh, I like the way they articulate that, though this vision may go underground, it never dies out, no matter what the prevailing beliefs of the age may be. In medieval times, it was known as the Great Chain of Being. The alchemists called it the Golden Chain. Aldous Huxley named it the Perennial Philosophy. Chief Seattle saw it as the Great Web of Life. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, here's the dialogue part, he does to himself, right? And Yeats envisaged this living unity as the great mind and the great memory, which renews the world and men's thoughts age after age, from the beginning of documented time to right now, in this holy, sacred, and moment of now, we're learning about our interconnectedness of life. And we're moving beyond our old story of it. and we're allowing ourselves to be more connected with that idea, the way that we're living together, the way that we're interacting together, the way that we're interacting with our environment, the way that we're interacting with all of the things that are going on in our life. If we sit back and we say, oh, that's happening over there, somebody better take care of that. Well, the somebody is us. If you see it, it's yours. I don't know what it will look like. That's not for me to say. But if we're, let's just say, it's all of us. It's all of us. As we continue to renew our story, as we continue to allow ourselves to be moved by the movement of the Holy Spirit that is upon us, we cannot help but notice how we're connected. We cannot help but notice that what we're doing is making a difference. So the collective cannot grow without the individual. Notice something out there in the world that's calling to you, that you want to be part of. That cannot grow without the individual stepping into it. And the individual will grow as the collective grows. Our stories will change. Individually and collectively, it changes. Ernest Holmes says it this way, and I love it so much. We are not individualizations of the one God. He said that. We are not just individuals. Everything in the world is individualized from a great cosmic pattern. There is no separation between God and man. There is no separation between God and man. There is no separation between God and man. There is only God and God in man. God is the love I am. Yes? God is the love I am. Say it.
God is the love I am.
God is the love I am. When I am expressing love, I am expressing God. When I am expressing God, I am expressing all that it is. What do I know to be true of God? God is love. God is peace. God is joy. Thank you for that this morning, Doris. God is beauty. God is light. God is life. When I am expressing those qualities, I am expressing the divinity of God within me. And what makes it beautiful and powerful is when we're aware of it, when it's intentional. We are the air we breathe. We are the earth we touch. The same life is moving through all. So let us live accordingly. Let us remind ourselves and each other of the divinity of God that's unfolding in us and through us and at us, as us. Let us live in the awareness that who we are matters. Let us live in the awareness that the only thing going on is the life of God. And I know that life is awesome. I know it's amazing. Therefore, I know that the life of God in us is amazing. Therefore, I know that the stories that are changing and unfolding and revealing and creating new things, they're awesome. As I'm letting go of the old ideas and the old stories, I'm making room for good. I'm making room for God. So I'll end with a little blessing that came out of the Science of Mind this morning in the reading for today. The power within blesses all. So just take this in for yourself. The power within me is blessing all mankind and all life, and is forever healing all with whom I come in contact. The power within me is God, and it must bless and help and heal all who come near it. Silently, the work goes on, and silently, all are being helped by this inner power, which is operating through me. I give thanks that my power within is silently blessing and helping everyone to whom my thought reaches. And so it is. And amen. And we have the band. I'm so excited.